Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
FIFA Women's World Cup semifinal, USA and England. The U.S. gets on the board first. Kristen Press in the 10th minute with the score. England with the equalizer, however. Ellen White just scoring about a minute ago as we were going into break. So 1-1 in the 20th minute of the first half. This is a semifinal. Winner will go on to face tomorrow's Netherlands and Sweden winner in Sunday's final. Our thanks to Antonio Daniels, new color analyst for the Pelicans. On the TV side, of course, where your new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. We'll go to Utah now. Tony Parks at Tony Parks Zones, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Jazz sideline reporter and also host over on 1280 The Zone. Good afternoon to you, Tony. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, man. Thanks so much for having me on, Gus.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm paying attention yet watching at the same time. So I'm doing my best to do multitasking here. Dude, it's crazy. Not only I wanted to talk to you, obviously, about Derek Favors coming here, and I will, but Utah making some noise as well in trades, free agency, in the works of the draft, all of that. In a team that really 2 seasons ago made a lot of noise, not so much as last year, but, man, right now, looking a week into the week of free agency, Utah, a lot of people feel, could be a team to reckon with in the Western Conference.
Oh, and absolutely, and for very good reason. I mean, this is a team that won 50 games. You know, the year before was 48 wins, but got to the second round and you know, started to play at a really good level. This is one of the absolute very best defensive teams in the NBA, but when you look at what their problem has been, it's just simply making shots. The Utah Jazz have been able to get higher quality shots than any other team in the NBA the last 2 years. And the problem is they don't knock them down nearly as often. So the Jazz ended up with lineups on the floor with regularity where you had 3 guys that couldn't stretch the floor, right? Mm-hmm. And now you have 4 guys expected to be on the floor with regularity that can. It's an enormous difference, especially in today's day and age of the NBA. And this Quinn Snyder offense, you know, Quinn Snyder's kind of an offensive mastermind. He's had a defensive lineup. Well, now he doesn't lose too much on defense, it would be perceived, and he has much more capability on offense. Bogdanovich's ability to shoot threes from a number of areas, Mike Conley's experience and ability to run the pick and roll, make a play for himself or a teammate, budding superstar in Donovan Mitchell, and they have one of the absolute best big men in the NBA, the best defensive player in the NBA. This is really, you know, being pieced together to be something that should be taken very seriously. So it's kind of interesting to see differing opinions on the Jazz. You know, you see the odds coming out for the championship, if you will, and the Jazz are like 6th in the West if you just go based on that. But yet you have many others who believe that this team is a true contender now. So I don't know if I've ever been as excited to just get the NBA season started, because this is, I mean, the offseason was wild. I mean, the Pelicans were obviously very active, and there's a lot of excitement for your future, but like there's a lot happening in the league, and man, this has been a really fun offseason.
Tony, it's interesting you say that, because, yeah, that was pretty much our first hour on our show here about whether Kawhi to the Lakers would be good for the league or not. And, you know, we went through the East and West and how many teams legitimately have a shot to contend. We came up with like 7, 8, 9 teams. If Kawhi goes over there. And I'm the same point. Look, trust me when I tell you, normally at this part of the year, July 2nd, I'm doing literally a countdown to Saints training camp, okay? Because we can't wait for that Thursday practice. No pads to go sweat just because we got nothing else to talk about.
Right?
And I'm telling you right now, people are tweeting at me, again, and Antonio didn't hurt with his energy, but people can't wait for the start of the basketball season in October.
No, and I've gotten to know Antonio Daniels a little bit, too.
He's incredible.
I crossed paths a lot when the Jazz played Oklahoma City a couple of years ago. And I mean, he's, you know, you should watch him during the games, man. He gets really into it. He's all kinds of fired up. You guys have a gem there in New Orleans, especially with his basketball knowledge and then everything else to go with it. But all of that put aside, yeah, you're right. This is the time of the year where I'm usually a voter in the AP poll with college football. I mean, I'm constantly scouring over as many things as I can, putting together the preseason AP Top 25, you know, all of that. And the conversations are college football around this market at that time. And you're right. Right now, it's all about the NBA. And the NBA has actually very brilliantly done this, the way they've mapped out their 365-day calendar, because they released their schedule, what, mid-August, which drives me nuts because I'd like to know what my life is going to look like. You know what that world's like.
Yes, sir.
So I want to see what that's like. But they do a really nice job with this schedule there, the way free agency is set. The regular season starts a little earlier now, right? Like, they're doing a really nice job of kind of spreading out the NBA over 365. And while it has been a problem with super teams and all of that, now we get into, hey, who legitimately could be in the conversation as a threat? And, yeah, there's more teams now, and I think that is such a good thing for the league. We were talking about it on my show today in the Western Conference, just, you know, all the different teams rolling through here on a night-to-night basis. It's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to be fun to watch. And so we're really, really excited for it.
At Tony Parks Zone, go give a follow like I just did over on Twitter, 1280 The Zone over there, and the Jazz sideline reporter. Look, man, one of the things that I was excited about, J.J. Redick, a lot of people are happy. There's a shooter, veteran leader, been in the postseason. I like Derek Favors a lot. And when you see guys like Rudy Gobert and Ingles tweet right after that, congrats, how hard he is of a worker and what he's going to get, tell Pelicans fans, man, what kind of player is coming in here to New Orleans?
Well, you have a consummate professional for one. He was in every single trade rumor that could ever exist. I mean, ever. From the day that, you know, he was here. I mean, really, man. I mean, all the way down to the final day. Handled it like a pro. In a very tough situation where, you know, he was that young player that was going to step in, emerge, and kind of be one of the faces of the team. And Rudy Gobert turned out to be, you know, the steal of a draft back in 2013. And, you know, 7'2" and plays exceptionally well. And so the Jazz then, you know, he ended up having to take a smaller role that maybe he had anticipated after working for so long, you know, to put himself into that position. So then when he first got here, 19 years old, got traded from what was then New Jersey, was shy, you know, didn't have too much to say. It was funny when I would interview him, he would in the post-game interviews, he would like start backing away a little bit. Like I'd have to pretty much chase him. Like I would like walk with him as he was backpedaling, you know, like he was great. And now he's, you know, he's got some great humor. He's a really, really good guy. But the biggest thing you're going to find is a guy that works, a guy that has supreme confidence, incredible humility, is an absolute team guy in every sense of the word. And you'll really, really love having him around. I mean, it was all these great moves for the Jazz to improve the team. Mm-hmm. No doubt I'm excited about them. The bitter part of the bittersweet is to have that guy no longer in that locker room, to see him every night. Because I'm telling you what, your community will love this guy as much as anybody. He's truly the best.
Tony Parks, thanks for giving us a little bit of insight. Obviously, being the solid reporter, you get to know these people a little bit more than just what we see on the court here. Look, I'm excited about this year coming up in the NBA. I love that the fact that Toronto won. When you look at the Raptors, you had one really, really good player in Kawhi,
yeah,
a nice all-star sort of player, but it was a collective of different people. That's why I get it. Even if he goes to L.A., I still think you can win. I don't see the super team being a formula that's going to last 5 to 7 years going, because I think you can win in another area, don't you?
I do, too. Yeah, I do. Personally, I would stay in Toronto. You're going to be a legend in Toronto forever. You can still win there. You have a GM who's extremely aggressive. And
right.
Like he's, I mean, come on. The guy got rid of a 59-win coach of the year. Dwayne Casey is awesome.
Right?
Like, no matter what the situation is, he wants it to be better all the time. And the kind of the George Steinbrenner, I guess, mentality, if you will, although maybe not quite as brash. But the point is, he wants to win. So DeMar DeRozan, who was such a big part of that community.
Yeah, and, huge.
You know, he's like, okay, no matter how good something is, I want it to be the very best. And if it's not, I want to do what it takes to get there. Very few players can look at an organization and know that that is the case, you know, where deep down they're going to do whatever it takes. And then, sadly, it takes some heartless approach a little bit for that to happen. But clearly, that organization is going to want to do whatever it takes around him to make them the premier team in the league. If he goes to L.A., they're loaded with the talent. But I tell you what, man, you also have to deal with everything else. Because remember, if you don't win it all, it's your fault. If you do win it all, it's LeBron's praise, and it's his success, and it's how great he is. So I do think that that's something he should consider. And then on the other side of it is, I'm sure the guy would love to play at home. So I don't – gosh, I really – the Vegas odds that came out on the odds to win the NBA title is obviously leaning that Kawhi is going to L.A. because the Lakers have the best odds to win the title. So clearly they're leaning that way. I'm with you. I'm hoping he goes to Toronto. I like that we're starting to see some balance in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember what it was like in the 90s, obviously, where you felt like every team kind of had two really elite players.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you had great matchups with, you know, Pistons, New York, Indiana, Chicago. You know, I'm sure I'm leaving teams out. I mean, Miami Heat had them there in the late 90s. And then you had everything in the West with Seattle at the time, and then Phoenix, Portland.
Sacramento had a little run.
Yeah, right. And I don't mean to go with the whole back in my day kind of thing, but honestly, it was so much better. Even if you had a team winning it 6 out of 8 years, you could still feel the contenders having a real shot at beating them.
Yeah. Tony, we'll wrap up because, you know, you mentioned being a college football top 25 voter. The analogy I used at the start of the show was college football because of what you just said. You're absolutely right. Fool me for most of the season as the U.S. gets a header by Alex Morgan to score 2-1.
Okay.
Sorry, Tony.
Okay. There it is. Yes. So, you have me in a good mood now. Thank you.
2-1 U.S. England was putting a lot of pressure in, but a second header for the score for the U.S. But along the lines of what you say with college football, fool me most of the season, right? Because fall ball is about to start, a fall practice in August, and everyone's excited. There's really about four teams that's going to win the national championship. but we never talk about it. The ratings are high. We watch college football all Saturday, and two-thirds of college football have no shot of winning it. Even if you go undefeated, it ain't happening, UCF. So fool me. Give me most of the season where I'm in the postseason. I can get in a first round, second round. So I like that. That's why if Kawhi goes to the Clippers, they got a nice young team, some young guys there. All of a sudden, man, it's up for grabs in a good way. You're going to have to battle, and I love that. So I'm with you, man. But it is kind of like college football, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally. Yeah, it has that feel. No doubt about that. Yeah, because the college football, yeah, we get into, like around here, the University of Utah is, you know, excited about their upcoming season. There's no discussion about could they win it all. It's could they make a New Year's Six without winning the conference title game. Like, that's what it, you know what I mean? And that, this is the first year that that has even been a conversation. And they're a Power Five team, right? I mean, you really get into all the different things where teams are eliminated. Fool me the rest of the way. But even with that being the case, as you were saying, college football ratings, incredible. Like, if Notre Dame's good, the ratings are great. If Notre Dame's not good, the ratings are great. There's such a connectivity to what's going on. And I love SEC football. I watch it all the time. And last year it was great. It was great theater, great drama, great excitement. Even though I knew, as excited as I was for the Alabama-LSU game, that I just didn't see it actually scoreboard-wise being a great game. You know what I mean? Like, but I still was all over it. So
yeah. And then you see Clemson just do what they did, and I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Tony Parks, at Tony Parks Zone. Go check him out, 1280 The Zone. He's the Jazz sideline reporter, also the college football top 25 AP voter. This won't be the first time, or last time, rather. Last time we're going to speak, man. We'll talk during the season. We'll talk a little college football, too, if you like.
Anytime you want, man, you give me a call. I'd love to come on. Thanks for having me.
Sounds good for sure. We're your new home for Pelicans basketball. It's ESPN New Orleans. We'll go to Philadelphia next. And we'll speak with John Marks. We'll ask him about J.J. Redick up there and some of the moves the Sixers have made as well. USA up 2-1 over England. Alex Morgan just headed in a shot into the goal. The Americans up in the 33rd minute. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Owned and operated, Ruderman is looking for licensed plumbers, experienced drain cleaners, and plumbing apprentices to join.